you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. And, of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, one of the women who's really doing a lot of British Columbia to fight for freedom of speech and to fight for the rights of parents that have been horribly abused by an out-of-control judicial system that is imposing the LGBTQ agenda, with particularly with emphasis on the T, that is transgender. And the hunting ground are young children. This is the latest from Tyler Thompson about her fight, and it's now in the courts to try to get more public awareness of what's happening to parents who object to often their severely disturbed teenage children wanting to transition. Very, very dangerous, of course. One of the fascinating things is that some courts would like to enable a child who is not allowed to drink, cannot vote, cannot drive a car, to make absolutely life-altering decisions about their bodies, particularly hormonal therapy that can alter them forever, and that's that's certainly one of the concerns we have, and of course, and part of this is the denial of the rights of parents to object. Now, this is one of the I think most dangerous things that has happened, and I am just trying to find out why I'm not getting this up here. We'll give this another old college try here, this is one of the most unjust things that the out of control judiciary has done, and also the attempt to gag people who want to discuss this. That, of course, indicates the sinister intentions. Here's Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson And this is the latest.
Okay, hi everyone. I just wanted to take a couple of minutes for a very short update. I've had an absolutely spectacular day. I've had an incredible interview with Rebel Media, with Sheila Gunn Reid, the fabulous Sheila Gunn Reid, who's always covering all the stories we need to know about, but that sometimes mainstream media misses. And so I appreciate her so much. And we had a great talk, so keep an eye out for that interview coming out very shortly. I also want you to know that that I've had a chat with two different lawyers today. And so we think that we are on the right track. So I can't say too much more right now, but I want to say that this is much bigger than we thought. This is bigger because we now know that there is so much evidence that is coming into my hands, and everybody is putting all the pieces together of how Soji has infiltrated our nation, and specifically British Columbia. So I'd like to put up an incredible letter that I got this morning, and it's from a mom. And see if I can make that as big as possible. So this is what she says. She says, this is a note that I received today from a mother who is beside herself dealing with this situation. She wants to remain anonymous at this time. I continue to say this is a sick trend that is destroying families and young lives. The sex activists have infiltrated and are stealing our children's identities. It's time to fight back. My daughter wants to be a boy and to start hormone treatment, this mom says. I'm refusing to allow her the treatment. Her school has changed her name in the system without asking me. My family doctor has told my 13-year-old daughter to go see her behind my back. This is what is happening. The world is turning mothers and fathers against their children, and their children against their parents. Where did we hear that? So the school changed her name in the system without asking me. My family doctor has told my 13-year-old daughter to go and see her behind my back, that she doesn't have to tell me anything about what they do. So the doctor is saying, you don't have to tell anybody. You just come see me. Your parents never need to know. It seems like society is really pushing this gender thing, and it's making me crazy, says the mom. Well, you and everybody else. It seems like it makes no sense to me, she says. She was fine until she started going to high school, and then just before school started, she cut off all her hair and started being a boy. Well, you know what I think? I think we have a problem. I think we have a problem with Soji that has instituted and has invaded, actually, our schools. And now because of this, because they've been indoctrinating kids for so long, when kids begin to experience all the different things that you go through as a child, you start thinking that maybe these authority figures know something, and you start believing that, hey, maybe I'm gender fluid. And so you know what has literally happened is that we have been betrayed by our society. We have been betrayed by those who should know better, by those who we think that we can trust. And this starts right from activist teachers. And I do want to stress activists, because I know plenty of teachers. You are wonderful people. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for what you're doing. In fact, you're refusing to teach this behind the scenes. You're not willing to sacrifice our children to this. But many activist teachers, even social workers that are within the system, activist doctors, activist lawyers, and even activist judges, have made orders and have done things that are, I believe that they're not constitutional. And we have some people that believe they're not constitutional either. And we're going to begin dealing with that. And I'm very grateful. Right now, I dream about this thing that's in front of me. I go to sleep thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. It's all I think about is, what are we going to do? And you know, this really began to a half or so years ago when we began to see the effects of this vile curriculum that has gone in. And, you know, they try to say that it's an anti-bullying curriculum. Hey, guess what? Lots of people get bullied. All of them should be protected. I was bullied. I was the only blonde in a school in Africa, and I was the only blonde then in a school up in the high north in Tuktoyaktuk Northwest Territories. Was I picked on? Yeah, I sure was. And so I don't like bullying. I don't like bullying anyone else, and I don't think that kids should be allowed to bully other kids. I think that having anti-bullying curriculums put in place are very important, and that teachers should teach that, and everyone should stand against anyone being bullied. But guess what? That is not for just one distinct group. You know, people are racially bullied, but we don't make a whole program that surrounds, you know, just the racial slurs. We make a program that should be for everyone, right? Everyone should be accepted in Canada, and we should teach our children to accept everyone, but we don't go instituting a resource. They don't like to call it a curriculum. You know, it's a resource that teaches our children something that we are totally against, that they are gender fluid. And so when I hear from this mom and other moms, I'm pretty upset about it. I'm also upset that Soji allows pedophile teachers to talk to young kids on text inappropriate sexual things. Because why? Because, you see, now it's become appropriate for teachers to talk about sexuality and all of this stuff, because Soji is all about that, sexual orientation and gender identity, starting to be implemented from kindergarten on. So you're starting to introduce sexual concepts when kids are little. So here's what's happened. There is a known case that has gone underground of a teacher, a gay teacher, who began to communicate with male students, all right, in younger grades, texting them inappropriate things. Well, he was released. It got found out. It happened in two schools, and he was released. But there was no consequences brought. Who knows what children he's near, influencing? Nobody brought any consequences. And the school system here in BC knew about it. The mums know about it. Other kids know about it. But did they protect our children? Did they tell the parents at large about this? No. That person could end up teaching in any other school in years to come. Not a blemish against his name. I'm disgusted and I'm sick of it. It's time to drain the bog. It's time to bring some justice into our nation, to protect the ones that need protection, which is our children. And not from you bunch of sex activists, perverts, who all you can talk about is your sexuality. Who cares? Nobody cares. Being gay is not interesting. It's not a thing anymore. It's like, be gay, be lesbian, be transgender. My friend Jen Smith is fine just the way he is by me. Do you know what? He has a head on his shoulders. And he knows this is dangerous for kids. And he knows that kids in the Ministry of Children and Families are particularly vulnerable. And he knows that if he'd have been in a school system, he's 54 today, but if he'd been in a school system at this time of his, you know, if he was young now, they would be moving him into taking these pharmaceuticals for the rest of his life, gender-affirming surgery later on, and he's glad he has his parts. Everyone needs to learn to love themselves the way they are, because altering all of that changes everything, you know, changes everything. And so now you've got kids. I was just watching a video of a young person who was a girl. She wanted to be a boy. So she started that all. She started getting the beard. Her voice was turned into a deep voice. Little bit of time, she goes, wow, that was a bad idea. She wants to change her mind. What she lives with now is a very deep man's voice in a woman's body. What's wrong with y'all? I'm really, really fed up. So we're getting the lawyers together. We're going to fight this. And we're going to do everything we can, because you know what? I have nothing better to do now. And I'm going to do it. And I declare the death of the SOGI curriculum in our BC schools and across the country. This has to go. Schools better start teaching math, science, history. Hey, home ec. Someone should have taught me more how to cook. That would have made my husband happier. I mean, where's that? Bring that back. Bring back sewing. Stop teaching our kids about sexuality. Let what needs to be. And not your kind of sexuality. You want to go over the scientific parts? Stick to science. How about this? DNA. XXXY. Stick to that. All right. Well, I've got to go. I could end up talking too long. I'm excited. Please donate to the Go Get Funding page. Please donate either by e-transfer or on my website. Please help us to fight. Thank you.
That was Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and a very good discussion about the ongoing fight for parental rights in British Columbia against the tyrants and the fanatics that have promoted the SOGI, which is sexual orientation program. Well, very, very interesting material in today's papers. The wildcat blockades of railways continues in Canada. There was a blockade just outside of Hamilton, Ontario. There was some blockades in Quebec. In some cases, the police are removing them, and that's good. One Indian chief who was a hereditary chief who was arrested in British Columbia, his name is, "I was prepared to get arrested to show how Canada treats Indigenous people, that they the police would come on our unceded land and arrest us." "Yeah, well, you're blocking a railway track," said his name is Stevens, but he's also known as Spookwicks. I'm not making this stuff up. Spookwicks. So Spookwicks is upset he got arrested. And this is damaging to the Canadian economy. To the extent the railway lines are blocked, vital exports are failing to make it to the ports or to the United States on time. And of course, in commerce, it's not just a matter of getting the goods there, but it's a matter of getting them to the customer in a timely fashion. And as more than one business person has pointed out, if you fail to do that, you will not really have your customers for very long. Customers, in most cases, rely on timely delivery. It's costing the province of Quebec $100 million a day. This is unacceptable. And head of the Chemistry Industry Association of Canada, one Bob Masterson, says, "We've got closures, we've got imminent closures. 80% of what we make is exported, and our customers don't understand and don't care. Why supplies have been disrupted. When you lose these customers, you lose them for good." Yeah, I mean, the customer it isn't overly interested in what the excuse is. And this is how the renegade Indian terrorists and their non-Indian allies and the radical anti-carbon movement are damaging us. To their credit, the two major Canadian rail lines, Canadian Pacific and Canadian National, are sharing each other's railway lines. If one line is blocked, and the other company has a free line that they'll share, which is certainly good. Canadian Pacific Railways has obtained an injunction applicable throughout the entire province of Quebec. So if railway lines are, the railway tracks are blocked by these protesters, that they are already enjoined to, you know, cease and desist. Well, here's an interesting further comment in this. Kenneth Deere, Secretary of the Mohawk Nation of Kahnawake, called the injunction a provocation, saying enforcement of it would be a nightmare, a big mistake. So a court rules that specifically that a railway line shall not be blocked. And this is not some bizarre, eccentric sort of ruling. This is absolute common sense. The public roads, privately owned rail tracks, should not be blocked. In a civilized society, this doesn't happen because the public has a right to be able to move about freely. And railway transportation should equally have the right to be able to move the product down the line. Now, this Indian says that injunction's a provocation. What? To say specifically, the court says specifically, blocking this railway line, these railway lines, is illegal. That's a provocation. See, what has happened is Canada for at least 20 years, the political elite have indulged many of the native people and gotten some of them to believe the most incredible nonsense, that they are nations. They're not nations. They may be tribes, they may have a historical part in Canada, but they're not nations. They're not sovereign. And you know, the big laugh is any sovereign country has to be able to support itself with very few exceptions. No Indian reservation supports itself economically. They are into the Canadian taxpayer for over $11 billion a year. Well, anyway, the nonsense continues. Dwayne Zachary, chief of the Kahnawake Mohawk Peacekeepers, that's the police with jurisdiction over the protest site, told a community meeting on Monday evening that they do not intend to enforce any injunction. Quote, the Kahnawake peacekeepers don't have any interest in criminalizing people for standing up for our rights. In other words, these Indian police are just plain useless. Notice the balderdash. The police don't intend to criminalize anybody for, standing up for our rights. No one's criminalizing anybody for standing up for Indian rights. Only if they're blocking a railway track. They can walk down the road and wave signs. They can go to a public park and wave signs. They can go to the provincial legislature or to the House of Parliament buildings of Canada, wave signs and banners and flags, and chant and say their piece. The head of the, what they call themselves, peacekeepers, is being deliberately ridiculous, or perhaps even more frighteningly, doesn't know any better. Anyway, the disruptions continue. They are, in some cases, being addressed by the police, in other cases not. And an example of just how our academe has been infiltrated. You want to read, and this is not the only one. There have been lawyers, the Indian lawyers, and professors of Indian or Aboriginal studies at various universities that have written in a similar vein. That basically, our laws in Canada are colonial laws and basically should not apply.
No, let's get this very clear. These are civilized laws. These are not laws meant to oppress anybody. They're meant to facilitate and organize a civilized society. And like it or not, the Native Indians are subject to those laws. They're part of Canada, and I think that has to be gotten quite clear. Well, it's certainly not clear in the minds of a woman named Beverly Jacobs, and she's a member of the Mohawk Nation Bear Clan. I'm glad you needed to know that. And she's a lawyer and law professor at the University of Windsor. God help us. And she talks about what happened on Monday when the Ontario Provincial Police moved into to the, but this time of thing being up for 17 days. This is an illegal blockade of the Canadian National Railway just west of Belleville, Ontario, and on the at Tiendanega on the Mohawk Reserve. And they moved in and they read the injunction from the court, and they ordered the Native Indians who were there, the Mohawk warriors so-called, to vacate the railway tracks and remove the obstruction. They had hauled a large snowmobile, a snowplow onto the tracks. Those who didn't were arrested. Now, listen to how this law professor, heaven help us, describes things. And on that same day, the police violently enforced colonial law upon Mohawk land protectors standing in solidarity with the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs, who opposed the building of a gas line, which many Indian tribes, Indian bands, have supported and are on board to benefit financially from. This is a small group of holdout hereditary chiefs, and much of this is internal politics within the Wet'suwet'en tribe. But anyway, she describes the enforcement of the law. Police violently enforced colonial law. Well, they didn't go in there with nightsticks, as well they could have, or pepper spray. Those who continued to obstruct the railway were arrested. Now, that's not violent. She goes, this is a real drama queen. I cried for our ancestors, our elders, our men, our women, and our children who've had to deal with this type of violence, this colonization. What violence? They obstructed a railway track and had been doing so for pushing 3 weeks. When ordered to stand down, some refused. They were arrested. This is all dressed up now as violence. My body trembled. You can't make this stuff up. My body trembled as the historical and current traumas inflicted its pain onto my spirit once again. Oh. It was at that deep soul level that I remembered what I'd been taught and what I'd been raised with, our indigenous laws. This is what I teach my law students at the University of Windsor. I teach them about the strength of our indigenous laws, the Haudenosaunee laws. The strength of our women and men. I teach them about the tradition of peaceful protectors of the land. They're not peaceful. They're obstructing the rest of society. And, you know, I think we should get this at the very best, romanticized nonsense, clear the air. Whites, Europeans, are the founding settler majority in Canada. Native Indians, of course, have a place, and they were before the latest, I emphasize that, the latest comings of Europeans. We were here, actually, over 10,000 years ago. But that's another story, the Salutrian man. But
We needn't quarrel as to who was here first. We are the majority. We brought Western civilization and all its benefits to a Stone Age country. Stone Age peoples there, because it wasn't all one tribe. We now have something like 713 different tribes in Canada, speaking many, many different languages. The reality is that things have changed. Now, their culture, deserves respect and their traditions. Let's not forget that this country is now essentially a European country. Yes, accommodation should be made on a reasonable basis for the native people. But let's not pretend that this is somehow some unfair colonial imposition. For instance, this Beverly Jacobs obviously writes on a computer. Her thoughts are given a privileged place in a national newspaper. Incidentally, computers, newspapers, newsprint, inventions of Western man. She undoubtedly drove a car to get to her place of work. The roads, inventions and contributions of Western man. The automobile, the same thing. Her computer wouldn't work without electricity, and the electrical grid that provides it, all part of what European or the so-called hated colonialists have brought. If you're going to reject all of this, if you're going to reject our laws, then make it consistent. Reject everything. No more computers, no more cars, no more electricity. Go back to the Stone Age that we rescued your ancestors from. That's not to say that they may not have had some valuable knowledge or insights. They lived here on the land in Canada for perhaps 10,000 years. One wouldn't say that these people had learned nothing or not adapted. Of course, they had contributions, and that should be respected. But let's not devolve into this. We're poor victims. We're the victims of colonialism. We don't want to obey their laws. Well, tough. Obey them. You benefit from them. Now, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It gets even better. We should all be aware of the history of this violent relationship, especially since it isn't taught in our education system today. And since so much racism and hate is spewed against our people, against me, and against any other strong indigenous and non-indigenous people whenever they tell the true history. Really? The true history? Well, the true history of many of the Indian tribes in Canada and in the United States was one of genocidal massacre. Yeah, of one another, not us, of one another, of slavery. Many of them have owned slaves. Now, way before the coming of Negro slaves from Africa in North America. Yeah, there's a lot in their history that isn't all that pretty. Tribes regularly massacred their neighbors and genocided them, and the losers, those who were not murdered on the spot, were brought in. Simply taken on as slaves. Now, let's have a little bit of honesty. Most of the... Oh, yes, talked about racism and hate directed against the Indians. I don't think there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of anger. And I hope it's accurately placed. It shouldn't be directed at all Indians. Many Indians and many bands want to cooperate with these developments. Relatively few Indians are illegally blocking railways and so on. And you know, I certainly think that the criticisms you know, should be accurate. Don't blame all Indians or whatever. But yeah, she's doing the typical boo hoo hoo. Oh, we're victims, and I feel so put upon and so bad. What has happened is that for far too long, this sort of anti-white nonsense has been indulged, and you know, I think that's got to stop. They've been given far too much. There is an extremely good article written by a man who has consistently put out great material and continues to do so. I certainly urge that you read him when you can, and perhaps financially support him. And this man writes for The Ethnic European. His publication is, or its online publication, called This Is Europa, and it's a man who has done a great deal for our people, and Mike Walsh, longtime activist. Well, this is something about a phenomenon many of you have noticed, and I've certainly noticed it for years: the sinister cabal behind race mixing commercials. So here's a picture: the United Colors of Benetton. One ad has a white man's hand and a black man's hand handcuffed together. Mike says, ethnic Europeans, who make up 95% of the smallest continent, are baffled by the sinister anti-white propaganda displayed in commercial advertising. Propaganda promoting mixed race relationships, particularly white women with black men, has become so general, even the least observant have begun to notice. Based on small glimpses of marketing subculture, one might assume that half or more of all relationships involve some form of race mixing. The combination of white women with black men is the most common mixed race couple depicted in race hate advertising. Now, in North America, sorry, in Canada, the mixed race couples are 5% of the population. Here's one United Colors of Benetton ad. There's a white girl. She's in a bra and, I guess, panties of some sort, and some looks like Oriental man with dreadlocks. A white man and a non-white boyfriend, his arm around a pretty white girl in bra and pants, with a Negro with his arm around her, a Chinese or Oriental man with his arm around a black woman, and then two white women, their arms around each other. get the picture? Yeah. Homosexuality, lesbianism, race mixing, all in one United Colors of Benetton ad. Absolute poison. If race diversity advertising was truly about appealing to the greatest numbers of customers or potential customers, it seems an odd strategy to focus so much on one combination while ignoring so many others. This suggests a sinister and subliminal purpose behind the race mixing trend. Yeah, I mean, there's an agenda here. The mixed race ideal is a lie. Research reveals that ethnic Europeans are the least likely to marry outside their race. Mixed race relationships are provably flawed. In terms of combined average incomes of interracial marriages, black husbands with white wives earn the lowest amount of any other combination. But the black husband and white wife combination were also the least educated. And here's an ideal couple, a reasonably pleasant-looking white woman, her Negro, I guess, husband, and three have three little pickaninnies. Of the interracial combinations, marriages between whites and blacks were found to be the least stable and the most likely to result in divorce. The divorce rate is higher in all interracial marriages for white women relative to marriages with white people. And there are more colors from more ads from the United Colors of Benetton. A study of over 2 million online dating interactions revealed distinct racial preferences between groups. White women were strongly against race mixing. They respond most frequently to white men and least frequently to black men. In light of this data, it's all the more bizarre that the combination of white woman with a black man is seen so frequently in advertising. And what it is to try to push this idea across, that it's good. Sexually transmitted diseases rates per the 2016 Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta speak for themselves. A 2015 study examined the outcomes of women that have children with black men. The results were staggering. Currently, 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. However, when the mother is white and the father is black, the rate jumps to 97%. Actually, in North America, the illegitimacy rate in both Canada and the United States among Negroes is 82%. But among where there's a white woman and a black man, it's 97%. He doesn't want to marry you. He wants to impregnate you because now you become his baby mother. And in a twisted way, it's a way of getting back at the white man. I've defiled his woman. 98% of white mothers studied reported the father does not support their child financially. That's with a black man. 97% report the father is not in the child's life. And 97% of the women have used welfare to help support themselves and their children. Only 10% of women who have children with black men out of wedlock end up marrying. The vast majority of white women who have children with black men live far below the poverty line. So it doesn't sound like a good choice to make. A 2013 study of intimate partner violence and relationships surveyed nearly 10,000 people. The authors hypothesized that interracial couples experience higher levels of violence compared to same-race relationships. They found that compared to white relationships, both black couples and interracial couples experience statistically higher levels of relationship violence. Again, not a good thing to get yourself involved in, what you would imagine. Partner violence is classified as threats, physical or emotional violence between two people in a committed relationship. The National Center for Injury Prevention and Control estimates that relationship violence costs around $4.1 billion a year in medical and mental health care costs. Idealistic youth lacks discernment. The younger the cohort, the more likely they were to say the increase of interracial marriages is for the better. Liberals were more likely than conservatives to say interracial marriages are for the better. College graduates were also more likely to support the same fanciful nonsense. And here's another picture of a nice-looking white guy and a negress and their two children. A noted researcher says that after a considerable amount of time spent in academia, he concludes that the longer one spends in academia, the more apt one is to be indoctrinated by critical theory. There is likely also a self-selection bias at work as well. Those who are more likely to buy into the narrative of critical theory, which is to tear down everything, are more likely to thrive in an environment that echoes their sentiments. Race destruction. Pew Research in 2010 found that 69% of people surveyed said that single women having children is a bad thing. 43% say unmarried couples raising children is a bad thing. Yet, hypocritically, only 14% say interracial marriage is a bad thing. There is something particularly dumb about being in favor of interracial relationships while at the same time conceding the self-destructive outcome of such relationships. He points out the four Jewish-owned advertising corporations are responsible for all anti-white race-mixing advertising. Research reveals that whites are the least likely to marry outside their race. When white women marry outside of their race, they're more likely to be abused, to become single mothers, live in poverty, and the whites dating outside of their race exposes us to a higher chance of contracting a venereal or sexually transmitted disease. Here's another just disgusting ad. Three people are in a blanket. A green blanket surrounds them, and you can see from, just below the shoulders on up. On the white, right, on the left is a very good-looking white woman with blue eyes. She and the other person are holding an obvious oriental little baby. The person on the extreme right, I can't tell whether that is a man or a woman. It's black with completely flyaway hair. It looks as though this person has stuck his finger in an electrical socket. Now, this is also pumped out by the United Colors of Benetton. We know that despite fashionable acceptance, white people continue to show a natural disgust in response to interracial relationships. We also know that despite the tsunami of diversity propaganda in films, television, and advertisements, same-race couples are still the most common relationship by far. The malice besought behind race-mixing propaganda. Few believe that interracial advertising under the guise of diversity is about selling clothes or laundry detergent or cereal. The real purpose of mixed-race advertising is to present a distorted worldview to humiliate, to mock whites, and to make them complacent. White men are the last vanguard against the intrigues of an ethnic group who historically hate Europeans. White women are displayed with non-white men not to sell items, but as a tactic of psychological warfare against European culture and civilization. White men are rarely portrayed in a favorable light. They're often the overweight, goofy, clumsy half-wit that relies on women and non-whites to save the day. From films to television to advertising, this is an increasingly common anti-white falsehood. The outcomes are socially and individually undesirable. Little, if any, good comes from promoting white women to date and marry outside of their own race. And here's an even another ad from the United Colored Colors of Benetton, of a brownish black horse mounting a white mare. Don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out what that means. A very powerful essay by Mike Walsh. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio. I'm going to take a short musical break now, and I'm going to pick up something that singers I think I played last night, and I hope you enjoy them. Of course, this is the great Merle Haggard. It's The Model Let Me Down by Merle Haggard. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on. Oh, right.
All day protection
TV
lets you get back out
dot
there.
Net.
New Depend FitFlex underwear.
And we try to suppress this ad here. The Model Let Me Down, Merle Haggard.
Hey, thank you, man. That's one of my all-time favorite songs. We don't smoke in the dark.
This is from a concert Merle Haggard gave.
Silver wink.
He's being silly at the beginning here.
Not fearing any pain that flows.
is Merle Haggard, and we do sometimes have we're having some troubles with the internet. Tonight, the bottle let me down. Another one of the great ones from Merle. And I'll play another tune here. Hope you like.
I just got to say something here.
This is George Jones.
I've got to say
and Merle
what
Haggard.
A thrill this is to be on stage at the Old Rhymer with Merle Haggard. My favorite singer since Hank Williams Sr. And I mean it with all my heart. But the main thing, we're on stage tonight for real country music. Thank you.
ain't like me. I just dream, keep on being the way I am. The way I am. Oh, my shadow. The way I am. Bring around with me. I can almost
We didn't rehearse it.
We didn't rehearse what?
Yesterday. Why?
Yesterday's wine. We're aging with time.
That's the great George Jones. I'll be back with you tomorrow. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada. The Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow. Alt-right. And we do have our intercontinental.